Thanks for the introduction, and thanks for the organizers for putting us together in this wonderful workshop. So today I'll be telling you about our recent result where we discover some interesting aspects about measurements, which can be used to prepare many interesting long-range entangled states of matter in a very short time, which cannot be achieved by using any local unitary protocol in finite time. So this is based on a joint work with Leo, Isaac, and Tim. And you can find more details in this archive reference here. All right, so long-range entangled quantum matter, why do we care about this? Because those are the interesting material where the order manifests in some global robust structure of entanglement pattern. So because entanglement is a defining feature of quantum mechanics, of course, those are the materials where quantum actually matters, in the sense that there's no classical description to understand this kind of state of matter. And relatively, this kind of long-range entangled quantum matter allow interesting or exotic physical phenomena, which is of course a current research frontier in quantum matter study. And in addition to being a fundamental interest to study this kind of systems, right? There are some practical, good reason to care about this because it connects to different questions, to different areas. For example, from the aspects of quantum information theory, we know that if you can realize this kind of long-range entangled states of matter, it can provide you some robust ability to do some quantum information storage and processing task. And these are essential for realizing the large scale quantum computing device. So a prime example is given by the so-called topological order systems, where the order is very different from the conventional symmetry breaking order. So if you consider the conventional symmetry breaking order like a ferromagnet, right? But just by looking locally, you can tell whether there's a local magnetization or not, and you can tell whether you get a non-trivial symmetry breaking order phase or not, right? But this kind of order, topological order system, you cannot do the same thing. But instead, it allows several interesting features emerging from this topological order system. For example, it can host a so-called fractionalized excitation that are called anions, whose brilliant structures are very different from conventional, like a fermion or bosons. And in particular, the ground states, the number of ground states of this kind of system depends on the topology of the spatial manifold. And those kind of features doesn't appear for the symmetry breaking order in the conventional sense. And perhaps a more direct entanglement feature is to study the so-called topological entanglement entropy, where you consider, say, a 2 plus 1D topological order system. You consider the bipartite region into A and A bar. You study the entanglement structure between these two regions. And in addition to partial A, that scale is the boundary size of the subregion. There's a universal constant that is called gamma, and it is a universal feature of this topological order system. So, and this gamma cannot be removed under any local unitaries. So it is a robust property of this long-range entanglement in the topological order systems. And another example I will also touch on is the so-called the gapless state described by conformal field theories. And typically, this kind of conformal field theory state occur naturally at a quantum critical point separating distinct quantum phases. And they feature certain power law, algebraic decay and correlations, which are long range. And again, we can look at entanglement feature for this kind of state. For example, if you consider the 1 plus 1D CFT, say the critical point of the transfer field isomodel, right? You find there's a violation of the entanglement area law. So if you consider subregion A and the A bar, the entangled entropy between A and A bar scale logarithmically with the subregion system size. And in particular, the prefactor C is a universal number that's characterized by the underlying CFTs. Yeah, and C is so-called central charge for the CFT. So the question we'll discuss today is how to prepare or how to realize this kind of non-trivial states of matter, maybe in the lab. And of course, there are many reasons to care about this. If you can realize this kind of state of matter, of course it is for the sake of exploration of some fundamental physics, right? We want to look for some interesting phenomena. And if you can realize this kind of state, it may have some particular use to relate it to quantum computing task. And this kind of question is particularly crucial or timely because we are in the so-called noisy intermediate scale quantum era where people have control on qubits of order of 50s up to a few hundreds, maybe over right now and maybe over the next few years. So right now we witness some rapid progress on quantum device on different platforms, But one question we want to overcome is, you know, if you have some qubits in a lab, right? Because of the noise from the environment, then the qubit will try to decohere, right? So it's basically, in general, very difficult to control the qubit coherence across a very long time scale. So if you want to do some quantum computing task or stage preparation, you better do it very fast. So this motivates this question. Can we prepare this kind of non-trivial states efficiently and hopefully in order one time? Right, can it be done? However, you notice that there are some fundamental limitation, right? If you start from any product state and you want to realize the long-range entangled state, like topological order state or gapless critical state, right? You realize that you cannot do this using local unitary protocols in finite time or finite depth. And this local unitary protocol can be either the local unitary circuit evolution or the finite time evolution driven by some time-dependent Hamiltonian. But either ways, the time for preparing this kind of long-range entangled state will necessarily grow with the system size. Of course, this is consistent with our expectation of different quantum phases cannot be easily connected to each other, right? So the time necessary goes with the system size. And then perhaps a more precise insight is that in many body systems, we have the existence of the light cone, right? That's the maximum speed at which correlation can propagate. So in other words, if you start from some trivial states, if you want to build out some long-range order across the entire system, right, the time will necessarily grow with the system size, just based on this maximum constant speed of the creating correlation, right? So this is a fundamental obstacle, right, for preparing the long-range entangled state. So is there any way we can bypass this difficulty? So as it turns out, I will discuss in this talk, using measurement as a very interesting ingredient in state preparation, we can prepare many long-range entangled state using local measurement and the local unitary, and in such a way that you can realize the long-range entanglement in order one time. And if you allow the time to scale logarithmically with the system size, which is not too bad anyway, you can realize more interesting exotic states of matter. So that is the main message of this talk. All right, so if you really think about it, right, it's very interesting and kind of intriguing, right? Because as we know, learn from the first class of the quantum mechanics, right? We know about the Schrodinger cat. If you put a cat into a box, and then you're trying to poison this cat, but before opening the box, you don't know what is the state of this Schrodinger's cat, right? In particular, it can be the superposition of the alive cat and the dead cat, right? It's kind of defining feature of the quantum coherence or entanglement. And only when you do this measurement, you try to open the box to try to monitor the state of the cat, right? You can observe either a live cat or the dead cat, but either way, you destroy the entanglement and coherence in these many-body systems. So in other words, entanglement and coherence and is kind of fragile to the projective measurement, right? So how is possible that doing measurement can efficiently prepare many interesting long-range entangled order states? So the intuition is the following. Basically, if you consider local measurement, it can be a very efficient tool to mediate and to transfer the pattern of entanglement, because it can bypass the locality given by the Lieb-Robinson bound. So that is the fundamental reason behind all this measurement protocol. Yeah, so basically in this talk, I will focus on the structure of the so-called local adaptive circuit. So the idea is the following. Imagine you have some physical spin chain, right? And then we are allowed to add some ancillas in the system. And for every layer of the circuit, you consider either extensive local unitary gates or the extensive local measurement. And importantly, depending on the measurement outcome, you are gonna base on those outcomes to decide what kind of local unitary you are gonna apply for the future. So the choice of the local unitary in the future will be adapted to the measurement outcome. So that's justify this local adaptive circuit. So as it turns out, if you're using this kind of local adaptive circuit structure, you can realize many interesting states, many interesting target states in order one time. And I want to emphasize that this kind of mid-circuit measurement is already available in a lab, so it's a very good time to investigate these kind of questions. And before our work, there have been several works along the same direction about this local adaptive circuit. But as in the following, I will talk about completely different protocols, now different from their protocols. And in particular, the idea is kind of interesting. So we are going to describe three novel classes of adaptive circuit based on three different physical insights that are familiar with the condensed matter people. The first one is based on tensor networks. The second one is based on the proton construction. And the third one is based on the entanglement renormalization. Each of the protocol is based on the different insight. And some highlight will be the following. If you consider order one time preparation, you can prepare many topological order states, and some chiral non-abelian order we can also prepare on the one time. And if you allow the time to scale logarithmic with the system size, you can prepare any non-abelian order, non-abelian quantum double order, and any level one Schnitz model in 2D, and you can also prepare the gapless conformal field theory state. So this is the highlight of our work. So let me just move on. So let me introduce the first class of the circuit inspired by the tensor network construction. So the idea is kind of very simple. You simultaneously prepare many decoupled clusters of spins, and when you want to form a many-body entangled state, you just put them together, and you do the two-body ZZ measurement. And so if you do the ZZ measurement, right, if you get the outcome to be one, that means in the computational basis, those two measure spins will take the same value. So in such a way that if when you do the measurement, you try to fill different different decoupled clusters to form a many-body state. That is the intuition behind this. And in particular, you construct the initial state such that the local decoupled state satisfies some symmetry locally. And if you do the two-body measurement to try to glue this decoupled state together, this original symmetry can be regarded as the gauge symmetry for topological order. So this is the main idea. So I will just discuss this protocol with the simple example, which is given by the 2D torical state, which features this Z2 topological order, given by Kitayev. So just to remind you about the model. So in order to write down the states, you consider some square lattice, and on every link of the lattice, you put a qubit, right? And the state can be written by sum of all the possible loop configuration in the product state basis, in the computational poly-Z basis. So what do we mean by a loop? Basically, a loop product state is you consider some possible loops for a given product state. And for any spin along the loop, you are going to choose the spin to be pointing down, and otherwise spin is pointing up. Of course, there are just so many choices of the possible loop configurations, and you're going to superpose all of those configurations, and that constitutes this exact 2D torical state. And this state cannot be achieved by local unitary in finite time if you start from the trivial state. So we're going to describe how to use the tensor network inspired protocol to realize such a state. So let me consider some decoupled state, which is the state of order one spins. So right now the T state is a state for four spins. And how do we define the state? You define the state such that whenever there's an even number of spins down, the wave function is chosen to be one. Otherwise, it is equal to zero. So what does it mean? It means that the state is chosen such that the product of Z is equal to one, right? So you can only consider the even number of spin flip, even number of spin down in such a state. And at the same time, you also satisfy this XX symmetry. The product of X on any two spin is equal to one. What does it do? It means that if you consider the allowed configuration, you are gonna equally superpose those allowed configuration given by product of X. So this is how you define the state of four spins. So specifically, you can write down the state expand in some computational basis. So of course, you can have a product state which is zero spin down, or four spin down. So basically by a red link, it labels a spin down. And you can also have two spin down with possible states. Yeah, but this is how you write down the state. And this, you can prepare it easily in your lab. Okay, and right now imagine you simultaneously prepared many copies of this kind of states, right? And what I'm gonna do is I consider the so-called two-body measurement. So imagine I put this kind of decoupled state on a square lattice, right? So basically on every link of the lattice, you can imagine there are two qubits. And I'm gonna measure the product of poly Z's for these two qubits on the same link. So what does it do is that it gonna do a projection, right? If the measurement outcome is equal to one, that means you apply the projector one plus Z over two. if you get a measurement outcome to m to be minus 1, then you apply 1 minus z over 2. So the claim is that if you get everywhere the outcome is equal to 1, then you realize the perfect torical state. Okay, so how do we see that? The idea is the following. If you try to expand this kind of state, you know, in the computational basis, right, you realize that you can only consider this kind of product state configuration, which is a loop, right? Because originally, the T state is constructed such that there can be only even number of spin down, so the red string cannot end on the vertices. And if you choose a spin pointing down on a given link, the neighboring qubit will also be pointing down, right? Because when outcome is equal to 1, those two measure spin will take the same value in the computational basis. So you realize that given these two conditions, you can only consider loops configuration. So this is one type of loops, and this is another type of loops. Yeah, and then you're going to superpose all the possible loop configuration. So when the measurement outcome is equal to 1, you realize the perfect torical state. And this is the main idea. Yeah, and if you like Hamiltonian more, you can try to write down Hamiltonian for which the right-hand side is the ground state of this Hamiltonian. So the basic Hamiltonian is defined on such that on every vertices, they are part of four Zs, and on every parquet, there's a part of eight poly X around the parquet, and on every link, there's a ZZ stabilizer to try to fix those two spins on the same link to be in the same computational basis state. Yeah. So this is pretty much like the original 2D torical Hamiltonian, but it's just that right now on every link, we have two qubits. And more importantly, if the measurement outcome is equal to minus 1, then that is fine. We know that it comes in pair because of the symmetry reason. And they come in pair, and they can be regarded as some anion excitations, and they can be corrected by applying the plot of x along the chain. So for example, in the right-hand side, in the left-hand side, in the right-hand side, you get two measurement outcome to be minus 1. You can apply a plot of x that connect these two errors. So this part of this x anti-commit with the projector, so it correct the sign, and then it acts trivially for the other spins. So this is the way you can correct the errors. So basically, for whatever measurement outcome you get, you can always achieve the target state that you want, which is the Z2 torical order state. So yeah, this is the main idea, and we can already generalize this idea to prepare some interesting topological order state like any abelian quantum double order, and even the twisted quantum double, which is the double semian order. And we can also prepare the fractal topological order in all one time. And I want to emphasize that this kind of approach is kind of very friendly for people doing experiment, because imagine you in the lab, you have control, you know, on different small clusters, right? And when you want to form a many-body state, just put them together and you do the two-body, you know, ZZ measurement to try to build out a long-range entangled state. So this is what people can do in a lab. Yeah, so let's conclude the first part of this talk. So maybe I can briefly pause here in case there are questions. Oh yeah, that's right. So right now we consider some particular states on a torus. Yeah, so you realize some particular sector in the that degenerate subspace. Yeah, that's right. But if you want to get other states in the last ground subspace, you can also just apply some string operator to get that. Yeah. But right now this construction applies to some particular topological sector. Yeah. Oh yeah, I guess conceptually it's kind of the same, but the different thing is there are a few differences. So this is the two-body ZZ measurement, so it's simpler to do in the lab, first of all. And another difference is that the protocol you mentioned is measure some stabilizer in the model, right? But our protocol also applies to some non-stabilizer Hamiltonian. I guess that is the main advantage for this protocol. Like a double semian model, we can realize that in a qubit. Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah, that's right. So basically you realize the state. So we consider the system on a torus. And then you are gonna consider all the possible loops. So indeed, if you consider the product, you know, Pauli Z basis, it is a combination of all kind of non-countable loop or countable loops. But that is the particular sector in the, if you consider the product X basis, actually. Yeah. The product of X will be equal to one in that case. So it depends on what basis you are considering. So there's no difficulty there. Oh yeah, so you realize the sector, one particular sector in the poly X basis. Yeah. The product of X along the non-countable loop will be equal to one. Yeah, maybe that's not obvious, but you can talk about it later. Yeah. Let's see. Yeah, I guess if you choose the initial state such that there's no non-countable, yeah, I think with some appropriate modification for the initial state, you can realize that particular sector in the poly Z basis. Yeah. Okay, good. So. Yeah, all of these model can be corrected by, yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right. That's the main idea. Yeah, depending on outcome, you correct those errors. Yeah, yeah. Otherwise, if you consider post-selection, then you can do more crazy things. Yeah, but that's not practical in practice. Yeah, that's right. Okay, so let me go to the second protocol, which is inspired by entanglement renormalization. And some highlight of this protocol would be you can prepare the critical state and any level one Schnitz model in a time that scale logarithmic with the system size. So let me just briefly remind you the idea of the mirror, the multi-scale entanglement renormalization ansatz. So basically it is a way to remove UV degrees of freedom and short distance entanglement in a systematic way, right? You start from at the bottom, you consider some lattice Hamiltonian, some state defined on some lattice, you call that to be UV, and on every layer of the hierarchy, right, you systematically apply the unitary gate to try to disentangle neighboring spins. And after that disentangling procedure, you apply the isometry to get rid of some trivial degrees of freedoms. And that decoupled qubit can be, you know, regarded as a qubit in a zero state. So basically, when you systematically doing this disentangling and isometry step, you can generate a flow from UV to IR. You try to decrease the number of spins and you can see the long distance entanglement pattern, right? So that is the idea of the mirror, which has successfully described many like gapless critical states. And interestingly, if you look at this circuit structure, you know, from the other direction, it generates a circuit from the top to the bottom. Then you can prepare some states you want on the lattice, right? But the caveat is that although it is a unitary circuit in log depth, right? But it requires the non-local gates, right? Because as you can see, if you go to the higher hierarchy, you require the non-local two-body unitary gate to entangle two spins to create some long-distance entanglement, right? So this non-locality is the main obstacle to realize the mirror circuit. So the question is actually, can we realize this kind of circuit using only local operations? And as it turns out, using measurement, we can do this. Yeah. And the idea is based on the so-called measurement-based teleportation, right? So imagine you have some qubit, the first particle, which encode some unknown state, right? And you want to teleport this unknown information from first particle to the third particle. So how do we do this? You first prepare a Bell pair shared between 2 and 3, right? And you do the Bell pair measurement. You measure the first qubit and the second qubit in the Bell pair basis. So of course, there are four possible outcomes for the four possible Bell pairs, right, between 1 and 2. And if you get the outcome to be 0, 0, plus 1, 1 for the first particle and the second particle, you achieve the perfect teleportation on this third particle for any unknown state labeled by alpha and beta, right? So that's the idea of the measurement-based reportation. And importantly, of course, you can get other bell pairs after measurement. And you're gonna record those measurement outcome, then you know what kind of operator to apply to correct those errors on qubit 3. So for any measurement outcome, you can always apply some appropriate unitary on the third particle to achieve the perfect reportation. This is the idea of the measurement-based reportation. Yeah, so we're gonna apply this measurement reportation idea to generate a non-local gate that can act on two distance particles, say labeled by A and B, on the physical spin chain. So the idea is the following. Imagine you append some insular spin chain just on top of this physical spin chain, right? And this, you're gonna decide this insular spin chain constituted by adjacent bell pairs. So the idea is kind of very simple. You are gonna apply the measurement such that you can teleport information from A to B prime, which is adjacent to B. After you teleport, you apply the local unitary gates between B prime and B. After that step, you teleport back to A. You can realize this in order one step, so in such a way that you already achieve the non-local unitary gates. So you teleport back, teleport from A to B prime, apply local unitary between B and B prime, and you teleport back. So that is the idea. And more concretely, we can do the following. You do this non-adjacent bell pair measurement. So after this bell pair measurement step, you can teleport the information from A to B prime, and you get some bell pair left behind. And given this, you apply the whatever unitary gate you want to apply. And then you again do the adjacent bell pair measurement, and you can teleport the information back to A. Yeah. So this is the main idea. So you can imagine on every hierarchy of the, on every level of the Meyer circuit, you can do this. So any non-local gates can be achieved in order one time using only local operation, meaning the local measurement and the local unitaries. Yeah. So this is the main idea. And just want to summarize this second protocol, which is that, so basically, we can realize the Meyer circuit using local unitaries and the local measurement. And because we know that Meyer can describe the critical state and even the gap topological order state. For example, the quantum double model and any Levin-Wen Shenan's model has an exact Meyer representation, right? So being able to implement the Meyer circuit means that we can already prepare the critical state and this kind of interesting Shenan's model in the gap that is log L. So that is the main idea here. And I want to emphasize that, as it turns out, the preparation for the critical state is optimal because you can prove that if you start from any trivial product state in any local circuit, even using measurements, right? If you want to prepare 1D critical conformal field theory state, the gap will necessarily cannot be smaller than log L because the entanglement scaling of the 1 plus 1D CFT scale looks missing with the system size. So you cannot do better than this. And because our protocol achieved the log L time scaling, so this is the optimal way you can have in the lab. Yeah. So this entanglement scaling is a fundamental abstraction for stage preparation. Yeah. So let's conclude the second part of the protocol. All right, so let me just proceed. So finally, I want to mention a very interesting idea inspired by the proton constructions, right? So the proton, as we know, has been used to build up many interesting quantum spin liquid in theory. But right now, I'm gonna emphasize that using this proton-inspired idea, we can prepare some interesting topological order states. For example, we can prepare some chiral non-abelian order in order one time. So the key idea is you start from some trivial, some simple degrees of freedoms, and you can do the measurement to try to enforce the proton constraint, such that you can build up some exotic quantum spin liquid. So I will just focus on one of the simplest example that is given by the Kitai-Hanekamp model, because it is an exactly solvable model, solvable by proton constructions. So thanks to Hanma yesterday, so I guess people are kind of familiar with this model already, but let me just briefly summarize this model very quick. So basically, you consider some Hanekamp lattice, and on every side of the lattice, you put a qubit, right? And depending on orientation of this of the link of the lattice, you are going to consider two-body neighboring access interactions or YY interaction or ZZ interactions. So this is how Kitana write down this model. And he also told us how to solve this model by fractionalizing the spin into four Majorana protons, right? So basically, a spin can be understood as four Majorana protons. Say there's a C fermion in the middle, and there are three different Bs, Majorana fermions, neighboring to C. And importantly, those Majorana protons, they are not independent from each other because you need to enforce the proton constraint, that is the product of those Majorana fermions should be equal to one, right? Because you introduce some redundancy when you introduce this proton. So you need to enforce these constraints such that you can map the state back to the physical subspace. And as it turns out, if you consider this kind of Majorana proton construction, you can write down the Hamiltonian to be a simple free fermion problem. It's a quadratic Hamiltonian problem for C fermions. So right now, the C, the blue Majorana fermion hop on a lattice, and the coupling, you know, the HSN coupling between J and K, that depends on U, J, K, which is the product of two Majorana dimers, which is the product of two Bs, and they form a Majorana dimer because they commute with each other and they commute with the Hamiltonian. So you may as well just plug in U, J, K to be one, and you can just solve for, you know, the ground state of a free fermion problem, and you get this psi zero, the free fermion states of C, and some Majorana dimers formed by B Majoranas. And then, given this simple solution, you apply the projector, and then you can map it back to the physical subspace, and then you can get the ground states of the Kitana Heiko model. So this is what Kitana told us. Yeah, and just a reminder, so depending on the parameter regime, you can either get a gapless critical phase or some gap A phase. And one interesting aspect we want to focus on is if you consider the B phase, right? Originally, it is gapless. But if you apply a magnetic field to try to break the time reversal symmetry, then you can open a gap. And in that case, the C Majorana fermion will form a P plus IP superconductor. So if you apply the gauge constraints, right, you can get a so-called chiral-Ising anion order, which features some chiral edge mode. And there are some non-abelian, you know, excitation in the bulk. And we already noticed that, so this is a way to solve for the ground state of the honeycomb model, right? But you already give you a very concrete protocol to realize this kind of non-trivial order. Basically, you just need to do the following. You start from some free fermion state, and this you can prepare in order one time. That is basically the product of a Majorana dimers arranged on a lattice and some, you know, C Majorana fermions, and they form the P plus IP superconductor. And theoretically, because P plus IP is an invertible, you know, gap state, so they can all be prepared in order one time using adiabatic preparation. So the first time you can, in principle, do this in order one time. Oh, yeah, so the idea is let me consider the setup where you have P plus IP here, and the P minus IP here, because they are invertible to each other. They're inverse to each other. So you can put it P plus IP and P minus IP together and to adiabatically continue to the product state without causing the gap. That's right. Get rid of. I guess when I get rid of them, I want to get a pure state. So you want to reverse the procedure, I want to decouple the P plus IP and P minus IP completely. So when you get rid of P minus IP. Oh, maybe in finite time we can do the local Hamiltonian evolution. I think that can be done. Is that the coupling between P prime plus IP and P minus IP? Yeah. Yeah, I think that can be done. Yeah. Yeah, maybe we can check about that later. Yeah. Cool. Yeah. Yeah, say, okay. So the first step is you start from this free fermion state. And you simultaneously measure these four Mariana operators on every vertex. And if the measurement outcome is equal to one, then you know that you realize the perfect Cairo Isingenian order in order one time. And if not, you get some measurement errors and they come in pair. This you can prove. And they come in pair, and it can be this kind of error can be corrected by applying the product of Mariana dimers that connect in between these two errors. Yeah. So basically, for whatever outcome you get, you can always apply some appropriate unitary correction to get the desired state you want. So this is the idea to realize the Cairo Isingenian order in order one time. Yeah. Suppose in a lab you can perfectly prepare the P-plus IP superconductor.
When you said you're prepared for a free formula state,
oh,
you're talking about free
Mariana formulas. Yeah, free Mariana formulas, yeah. So I also imagine that people can should have the ability to have Marianas in the in a lab or But this is a theoretical construction where it just shows that it is in general possible if you have this ingredient. Yeah. I mean, tensor network for the. Oh, yeah, that's a good point. But I think there's a no-go, yeah. So I guess this is not really the paths for the chiral order. Sounds good. Yeah, we love to chat more. Yeah, but right now, basically, what we are doing is we just reverse the position of by Kitaya. So, yeah, that is the only thing we do here. Yeah. And her job measure the Gauss law. That's right. Yes, there must be even number of excitation. That's right. That's right. Just based on Feynman parity, you can prove that. That's right. Yeah, so that slide pretty much summarized these proton-inspired ideas. So in this talk, we basically talk about the tensor network idea and the idea inspired by MARA, integumentary normalization, and the proton constructions. So each of them may have some different limitation and ability. And I want to emphasize that in the paper, we also discuss, provide a simple perspective about measuring SPT states, where we find that, so this is based on the previous work by a group in Harvard. But in our paper, we discuss this very simple perspective where you can immediately see that why measuring some SPT state, you can get a long range order. We discussed this correspondence from the perspective of the wave function level. So I got a backup slide for this. For if you're interested, you can ask me later. Okay, so yeah, I'm pretty much done with my talk. So I guess the broad question I want to motivate is what are the limitations for this measurement assisted circuit, right? So for example, as we see here, there are many states we can prepare using measurement. At the same time, there are many states we cannot prepare using measurement. But for those cases, it is because we are not smart enough or there are some fundamental property of the states, some intrinsic property of the states of matter, such that we cannot prepare them easily using measurement. So I think this is a very interesting question in general, because we don't know much about the limitation or some fundamental bound or some fundamental obstruction for using the measurement assisted circuit. So, and more generally, another question may be, so far, people have been discussing the state preparation, where you want to prepare some target pure state, right? Say the gap state, say the ground state or some Hamiltonian. But I think it will be interesting if you can use the measurement and the unitary feedback to prepare some mixed state, where you have some a large amount of classical fluctuations. At the same time, you can also have some long-range order that is stabilized in this mixed state. So using measurement and feedback might be able to do this. And we are thinking about these questions in the meantime. I guess more generally, just that measurement seems to be a very fun ingredient, a versatile ingredient to study in many body physics. So with this, I conclude my talk and thank you for your attention.
have time for questions.
So I had a question about the first part. So suppose you wanted to, suppose you have prepared the state and you want to apply some gates on it. Now you have double the physical degree of freedom, right?
Yeah.
Is it clear, like, how would you apply a local gate on this?
Oh,
while
yeah.
Keeping it in the state?
That's a good question. So actually, for the first protocol, right, you had every link, you had 2 qubits. So, but it turns out you can apply a simple unitary to remove the qubit. So you can make it back to the original perfect Toriko, like Asenkitaya. Just apply the control NOT gate. You can remove the qubit. Yeah.
And does that hold true for the other constructions as well? Where, because in every construction, I think you have increased the number of degrees of freedom.
You mean the other protocols or the other?
The other protocols?
It may be special to tensor networks. I haven't thought much about that. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What is your success probability? Because it seems like it would fall off exponentially with your system size, like the success probability of your measurements. Don't you then have to do like exponentially many error corrections? Or what am I missing here?
Oh yeah, so the idea is depending on the measurement outcome, you can always correct with some simple unitaries. So the success probability will be 1.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we are not enforcing the measurement outcome. Yeah. Otherwise, you can do more crazy stuff. But yeah, but we don't want to do that. Yeah.
Is it important to have exactly the right basis of measurement? Suppose you mistakenly measuring another basis.
Oh. Yeah, that's a good question. So in other protocol, like measuring SPTs to get long range order, people already study the case where they rotate the measurement basis. And they find the order will be stable up to some critical measurement angle. So that people can prove. Yeah. And for the setup you consider, for the setup you mentioned, we are actually studying those measurement errors for these protocols. So it's a work in progress. Yeah. But at least for the measurement SPTs to get long range order, people have some study to prove that the order can be stable up to some critical angle. Yeah.
Any other question? Oh, that's it. Again?